It's the Dennis Stuckey Show on 1380 WPHM.
All right, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the Dennis Stuckey Show here on a Tuesday. We're here from 3 until 5 o'clock. Bobby McKillop joins me in the studio today. Feeling any better?
Actually, I just went to the doctor. That's where I was coming from. Last time I was here, last week? I guess I was, it's been a while. So I'm not a doctor guy, so I did call Uncle today. I did go in there, so I'm, my prescription will be waiting for me in the Marysville Meyer, and hopefully I will clear this up because it's been a while. But
you sound a little stronger today.
I'm a little bit stronger today. I'm feeling, but I'm not doing good. But yeah, I'm here.
All right. Well, compose yourself for just a second. I'm going to run down yesterday's high school soccer. The district started for the boys soccer playoffs. The big game in our area was Port Huron Northern against Port Huron High. The first of the big meetings this week between the two schools, of course. Yeah. Football game is Friday night, but this one was dominated by the Huskies. Adam Godinez had 3 goals. Northern wins 8-1. Ben Wenzel had the only goal for PH, and that came late in the second half when they were down 7-0. Northern advances. They will play Dakota on Wednesday in the district semifinal. The other side of the bracket, Eisenhower, who beat Anchor Bay 6-0 yesterday, will be taking on Romeo. Also on Wednesday, we'll have some good ones. Imlay City beat Elmont 2-0. Lutheran North beat Algonac 10-0, so Imlay City Lutheran North is one semifinal. Richmond beat Marine City 8-0. Croslex beat KPAC 10-2. Richmond Croslex will be a very good semifinal match, I'm gonna say that'll be either Richmond or Croslex against Imlay City, so we'll have a nice final there as well and have an area team get through to the regionals. Elsewhere, New Haven beat Austin Catholic 8-0. New Haven's going to play Memphis on Wednesday. Games today: Armada is hosting Ortonville Brandon, Yale plays at Auburn Hills Avondale, Marysville takes on East Detroit, although I don't know if originally the game was yesterday, then it's moved to today. I thought it was supposed to be at Marysville, but the state says it's at East Detroit. So Marysville's playing East Detroit today. You guys figure it out where it is. Landmark Academy travels to Harbor Beach, and Kimball New Life is hosting Brown City today in the soccer playoffs for the boys.
So is it safe to say that there is an 8-goal mercy rule?
There is an 8-goal mercy rule.
Okay.
But you have to play at least the first half.
Okay.
Hence why we had a 10-0 score yesterday.
Got it.
Okay?
Yeah.
You got it?
I got
it. It's like hockey.
Yeah, sort of.
You got to play with 2 periods.
Sometimes I've seen a lot of soccer / European football in my day. I have never seen an 8-0 game or a 10-0 game.
Yeah, no, that doesn't generally happen except on the lower level.
Okay.
You could get mismatches.
Mismatches.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what happens when everybody gets into the postseason. You're going to get a mismatch.
It's that way in every sport.
Yeah. Except for football's the only one in high school where they.
Well, talk to me about this PH Port Huron Northern game.
Your guess is as good as mine, because here's the thing. Every year I think I know who's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then the exact opposite happens. Or every year I go, this is going to be a good game. Last team with the ball wins. And the score ends up 42-0 for somebody.
And this is
this is going to be a defensive struggle, and the final is 50-48. Or I go, offenses are going to burn it up, and it ends up 7-6.
And this is just the end of the season game, correct?
Northern is in. They got their 6th win last week. They're in the playoffs. For PH, they're 4-4. 5-4 doesn't guarantee they'll get in the playoffs, but it gives them a faint pulse because they played Country Day. That's a playoff team. They played Mott. That's a playoff team. They've played Cousineau. That's a playoff team. They've played Grosse Pointe North. That's a playoff team.
Boo.
And they're playing Northern. That's a playoff team. Boo. So in 9 weeks, this will be the 5th playoff team they've played. So that schedule, because all these teams that they've played are winning football games.
Yeah.
The Big Reds will have a nice total of playoff points. So if there aren't enough 6-win teams to fill the bracket, and they have to take a 5-4 team.
So this is a must win.
The Big Reds have a chance, but they have no chance if they don't win the game.
This is a must win. And then you have Northern, who's already in, but obviously it's a cross-town rival. It's a rivalry game.
Yeah, they're certainly not going to roll over.
There's nobody going to be laying down.
No, and Northern, too, hasn't won this game in the last 5 years.
And again, I understand. I'm going to say something that people aren't going to understand, but I do understand why you're not going to understand. You couldn't pay me if I'm poor here in Northern to care about this game. You couldn't. Sorry. You couldn't.
So you're saying rest Billy Falco, who came back last week from an injury.
Absolutely.
And don't worry about it.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you, at Northern, this game is going to be bigger to them than their playoff game.
Which I understand. I get it. I come from the high school world. I deal with this stuff all the time, and I say this to parents all the time to me, and I understand. Trust me. I get it. But at the end of the day, 2 weeks from now, whether Port Huron Northern won that game or not, isn't going to matter if they lose game one of the playoffs. It's not going to matter. Is it going to matter if 10 years from now? Yeah, well, we beat, you know, I get it, because it's the rival. But what – it's just like Michigan, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State. I get it. I understand. I understand. Ohio State doesn't hang their banner on beating Michigan every single year. Ohio State goes for bigger and better things, which is national championships. Michigan is stuck trying to beat Ohio State. That's all I'm saying. Take it for what it is.
Okay. Well, I get what you're saying. I'm just telling you.
You just couldn't.
It's the same thing, and I know you go through it. Grosse Pointe North, Grosse Pointe South.
And
that's what matters to them.
True.
Everything else is just icing. If you win a playoff game, well, that was great. Did we beat South?
I have kids with I'm just telling you. I have kids with injuries 3 games left this season, and we're playing Grosse Pointe North, and my best player has an injury. He's not playing. Even if he could play, he's not playing. Because at the end of the day, it's how far can I get in the playoff run? If you're trying to win championships. If you're a program that is trying to win championships.
But you're a coach, and coaches look at it different than...
You mean they look like the way they're supposed to? You mean if you're trying to win championships, but if you're not, I get it.
The interesting thing here, too, is Northern coach Larry Rollins played for the Big Reds.
Oh, I get it.
He played in
this
game. Trust
me, there's going to be blood on the field that game.
And I think he won every time, too.
I get it. I'm just telling you, I understand. As an athlete, as a student athlete, you couldn't pay me not to try and win that game as a student athlete. If I'm going to Port Huron Northern and I'm a Big Red, doesn't matter what the ramifications are, and the coach looks at me and says, we're going to lay down this game or you're going to sit out, I'm looking at him going, no, you're not. No, you're not. I'm playing this game. This game means everything to me. My girlfriend's parents, friends, sisters, aunts, and uncles all are going to be there. My mom and dad, this is their Super Bowl. I get it. I'm just taking you to the outside coach's world, which is you couldn't pay me to win that game. Right? I mean, I'm going to be ready for playoff game number one. That's me.
All right. Well, we'll have the Super Bowl of Port Huron Friday night, brought to you by your local McDonald's, Lens Pool and Spa, Subway of Marysville, Blue Water Area Transit, and the Linwood Bar. WPHM.net at 6:45 for a 7 o'clock kickoff between the Big Reds of Port Huron High and the Huskies of Northern. Northern, by the way, is the home team this year.
And you haven't told me yet. I'm waiting.
I did kind of tell you.
Not really.
I have no idea.
That's not telling me. I'm going with Northern.
You're going with Northern? But you just said that they shouldn't.
But again, they shouldn't, but they're not going to. This is going to be, again, people are going to sit here and go, listen to this guy talk. This is the Super Bowl for them. I totally understand. Both these guys are going to go after each other. I'm going to go with Northern.
I'm going to go with the Big Reds have won it 5 years in a row, so until Northern beats them, I'm going to pick the Big Reds.
Yeah, I think this is Northern's year. I think they're on a high.
Picked Northern before he left.
Yeah. I mean, that Marysville game, 14-7, I mean, it's a big game for them.
It's a big game.
Big game.
There are several, and
big
of course,
game.
As the week goes along, we'll talk more about that. Tomorrow, I've got Pat Williams on the show. You say, who is Pat Williams, Stucky? Pat Williams is the president, CEO, GM of the Orlando Magic. He is an author. He is a motivational speaker. And he is the guest speaker this year at the Port Huron Sports Hall of Fame enshrinement dinner on Saturday night.
You gotta love it.
He's going to call from Orlando and spend the show with me tomorrow.
Perfect. How much better can you get than that?
I just got his book in the mail the other day. I get the feeling he's going to be a better talker than even you.
I don't think so. I think he's going to struggle a little bit that way.
But he's got a book out called Humility, The Secret to Success. And I just got it. It came like Saturday. So I've read a couple of chapters. And every time I turn a page, I go, that's Mike Emmerich. That's Mike Emmerich.
Right.
That's Mike Emmerich.
Right.
The whole book is about Mike Emmerich.
Right.
Every page those guys,
there's a blueprint to those guys.
Yeah. He's got an interesting couple of pages on Tiger Woods, too.
Oh, I can only imagine. That Orlando, you got to understand, that Orlando area, that's where he hung out down at Owlworth.
Well,
he was
a season ticket holder to the Magic.
Yeah, Tiger was a big piece of that Orlando area. The nightclub scene, the Magic, he loved the Magic. He lived right down the street in Owlworth. Yeah, he was a big piece of all that stuff. And I have friends of mine that used to be from up here, golf. One of my assistant pro at Black River years ago, Richie Smith, is now the North Section Director of the PGA down there. So he lives in that area, and he had some stories too. I mean, it's a fall from grace. Talk about a fall from grace. This guy's afraid to take the club back right now.
Well, yeah, that was kind of the point. It's about two or three pages on Tiger and about how his initial impression and when he first saw him at Magic Games and what he was doing on the pro golf scene. He was the epitome of what you need to be successful. Oh. Only behind the scenes, we come to find out that other things were going on. And so in the end, he ends up kind of tearing him down. But,
well, how can he not?
Yeah.
I mean, the reality of it is, and you've seen this over the years, is, and I talk to my kids about this all the time, right? You are who you are when nobody's looking. And that's a really, really hard statement for some people to live up to. You are who you are when nobody's looking. Don't ever judge a book by its cover. Eventually the truth will come out. But you are who you are when nobody's looking. And we have morning, and just prime example what I mean by that, we have morning workouts. I don't make them mandatory. I don't make them mandatory for these kids. You want to show up at 6 o'clock in the morning and go? We've paid a guy to show up to train you at 6 o'clock in the morning for an hour before you go to school. If you want to be there, be my guest. It's okay. But you are who you are when nobody's looking. I'm looking.
Coach knows who showed up.
Right, but remember.
Might not say anything, but you know who showed up.
But I'm looking. Okay, so then don't come to me. Don't come to me 2 or 3 weeks into the season or a month into the season and go, hey, you know, why is this guy playing ahead of me and whatnot? What, if it's a 50-50 race, I can choose between either or, but one guy's showing a commitment level, even though it's not mandatory, I'm looking. So don't ever judge a book by its cover. You never know what's going on behind the scenes, and obviously that was a really, really big one. The thing about that whole thing that really drove me crazy after it all came out was the amount of people that protected him afterwards. Don't tell me Stevie Williams you didn't know. Don't tell me all these people you didn't know. Just don't have that conversation with me. Don't have that conversation with me. This guy's the most watched person in the world sports wise, and you don't know that that's going on?
I didn't know, but I was trying to tell everybody. All the while, you people were sucking up the Tiger. There's something not right here.
I'm telling you right now, it's one of the biggest. It's to this day, it's one of the things that hurts me the most. I absolutely loved him as a player, and I loved him as a person. And you know, to see where he's at now is just sad.
Oh, my mom loves him too. All right, we got to take a break here, but Bobby McKillop is here, and we're just getting started. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show on WPHM. All right, welcome back. Before we get to that, before we get to the magic that you put in Green's gloves, congrats to Jack Campbell, Ontario Reign, American Hockey League, 36 save shutout, and a 2-0 win over San Diego in their opening game. So way to go, Jack.
League opener?
Yep.
Wow.
He's down there right now with Jonah Imo.
Because Budai got called up.
Because Budai got called up because Quick is down. So they got Budai and.
Remember you and I talking about this? This is his chance.
How do you say the other kid's name? Zakov?
Yep.
Yeah, Zakov. Yep. Are the goalies there.
Let's
so
make sure we say that one correctly.
Jack's the number one guy right now in Ontario. He got a shutout in his first game. Tyler Mott, 3 games in the show, 2 assists, +1. Hawks play the Flyers tonight in Chicago. Tyler's doing very well at least through 3 games. This
He'll
is
score.
Small sampling, I know.
He'll score.
But he's doing very
well. I've been
well.
Watching the way they've been using him. They're using him a lot on the PK. doesn't get a ton of quality minutes because of the kind of games they've been playing. They've had some power play and penalty kill stuff. Doesn't get power play time. Gets a lot of penalty kill time, but isn't getting a lot of quality minutes because of the flow of the game for Chicago. They didn't get off to a good start. So they're not even in a flow yet. As soon as they get in a flow, like you know, he'll get a lot more opportunities and to score.
Later in his career, he's going to get power play time, too.
Later in his career, he'll get power play time this year.
Yeah. 2-0 for Grand Rapids.
There's a shock.
Callahan, 2 goals and an assist. Matt Laredo, 1 goal and 2 assists. Mantha, 2 goals in 2 games. Robbie Russo, 1 goal and an assist. Svechnikov has a goal. Bertuzzi has an assist. But none of those guys are good enough to play for the Dead Things, who are 1-2. Yes, I know they won last night. They beat the powerhouse Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, but the Ottawa Senators are 2-0 stuck. Come on.
Oh, the Senators suck. You know that, and I know that. Yeah. And poor Dave Cameron had to suffer through it.
Oh, my God, did he ever.
A funny story
about a kid that's been down in Grand Rapids forever, and I know he's never going to get a chance here because obviously I know the how they, you know, what goes on inside the brass. But Mitchie Callahan. So I play with his dad, Mike Callahan, in roller hockey in Los Angeles. And they look identical. Same missing tooth. But, you know, so this kid grows up in L.A. as a roller hockey kid. And now he gets an opportunity, gets drafted in National Hockey. He's a big bruiser for them. He puts up numbers every year. And, you know, he's just been slated as one of those guys for the last 6-7 years. But he always puts up those kind of numbers. And I just kind of wish they would have given him a shot. But, yeah. You know, they win a game last night. Obviously, Greeny gets his first hat trick, which is good for him. He needs to be a force for them.
So what do you think? He finishes the season with 9 goals?
Well, I hope not.
He needs to score 15 or 16 for them.
He has to. He has to. I mean, the thing that looked a little different, I mean, he's in great shape. He works out a ton. When he was crossing over the, he looked really mobile last night.
Yeah.
But again,
He's shooting the puck a lot more early this season than he did last year, and he's getting the shots through this season, couldn't get anything through last.
Again,
year.
We're 3 games in.
Yeah, I know. And that's my point to people is we're 3 games. Darren Helm has 3 goals in 3 games.
Yeah.
At some point this season, because he does it every season.
Yeah.
He's going to go 30 games without a goal.
Right.
They got the win, and I don't want to lessen the win. You're at home.
Had to win that game.
Emotional game.
Had to win that game.
I love the way they played.
Had to win that game.
Jonathan Erickson's fight was very important.
Yep.
Set the tone for that game. Wings have 4 fights in 3 games. They had 8 fights all of last year.
I agree.
And obviously that will taper off as well
as
the season goes on.
But I like it.
There was desperation.
Yep.
That's been one of my big complaints about the Wings the last several years is that there's never any desperation. There was they're 0-2. They hadn't started 0-3 since the late 80s.
Had to win last night.
And they came out and they played like, you know, we better win this one.
Yeah.
But now,
in a tough situation.
But now, Wednesday, you go to New York.
Oh boy.
You go to Madison Square Garden.
We just lost 7-4.
They haven't won in Madison Square Garden in 1,000 years.
Yep.
If you can go on the road and show me something, then I'll back off a little bit.
Mm.
But the win at home last night doesn't erase what I saw the first 2 games.
I agree.
You know, you got to win at home and on the road in today's National Hockey League. So. Yes, I'm really glad they won. Yes, they were very good last night. They were very good last night. But I'm still waiting on Larkin to score a goal.
Yep.
I'm still waiting on Tatar to score a goal. I'm still waiting on Nyquist to score a goal.
Yep.
I'm still waiting on Ablicator to score a goal. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting on Zetterberg to score a goal. Come on.
No, I know. You don't need
Shahan to tell. Looks terrible.
You don't need to tell him. I mean,
Athanasiou's playing with stiffs.
Now he is. Yeah, right? I mean,
there's still a lot of work to go, and they're still just 1-2.
Here's the hardest thing is you and I can have this conversation. You and I come from another place. So you and I can have this conversation like we're at Tim Hortons having hockey talk, and people aren't going to understand the conversation we're going to have. You and I are best left to just kind of go, hey, let's leave this alone for a couple more weeks, and then we'll have a realistic conversation because you and I know what the reality of it is. I knew as an athlete, last night was a really difficult situation for them. They knew they had to win. Now they got to do this, all this pre stuff, come in the get in the SUVs, and they had to be there an hour and a half earlier than they normally had to be there. And they're walking down the red carpet, and it's an emotional night. And you know, you hate getting introduced. You hate standing back there. You're standing. The last guy, Zetterberg stood there for, 14 minutes, maybe even 20 minutes in his skates, waiting in a hallway to get his name called. You are set up for failure. So for them to get, jump on early, for Greener to get those goals early, for them to get up, they had to win that game. So does that show me something? Absolutely, it does. I'm sorry, but Mrazek is not going to play. He can't be that guy every single game. He can't be.
They're going to start Howard Wednesday. Howard, not win-loss, but his overall numbers at Madison Square Garden are phenomenal.
They are.
Goals against under two, save percentage way over 950. They just never score a goal when he's in there. I think the last time he was in there, they lost 1-0.
I don't like that they're already thinking three games into the year that we don't need Steve Ott. I don't like that. I think we need to have that bump and grind presence, that veteran leadership, a guy who can calm things down in our own end, calm things down on the ice. Defensively, I think they need to get a lot better.
We do give up a lot of easy chances. And a lot of times,
it's going to bury you.
Noticed because Mrazek will make a lot of big saves.
Exactly.
And at the end of the night, you go, oh, they only gave up one goal. Yeah, but they gave up enough chances last night.
How many shots they had last night?
If Ottawa were any good, they would have scored five goals.
How many shots Detroit had last night? Do you remember?
At one point it wasn't very many. I think it ended up fairly close. It was like, I don't know, 30 to 24 or 25, something.
They had
25. Like that.
Detroit had 25.
Yeah.
So, understand, this game is predicated on speed. It's predicated on being able to move your feet inside the puck, both offensively and defensively. If you don't understand the game, the most important part of the game today is how well do you play without the puck? Meaning defensively, how do you create chances offensively for guys that have the puck? Do you know how to support the puck? Can you move your feet in a position to stay inside the guy in a defensive position so when we transition to offense that you're in that position? That's why a guy like Jaromir Jagr still playing blows my mind. This game is, you can't put your stick in anybody anymore. There's no clutching and grabbing. There's none of that stuff. So you need to have team speed. And you need to have toughness on the back end to go with that speed. And I think I think 25 games in, you and I will be having a pretty good conversation about where we're at. And I think the reality will set in. Remember, this is what people forget. Okay, if you were to take, and I hate having this conversation because I absolutely love the Toronto Maple Leafs. They are my team. I'm born and raised in Toronto, but I love the Wings. I love everything they stand for. I love the organization. I love them from the top down. I love what they've done. I love the history here. Stevie Y, Lidstrom. The names go on. All the names are retired. The Howells, the DeVecchios. All those guys. We can go on forever. And now you I love everything they represent. They've done so many great things for the city of Detroit, and I love going down there, and I want them to be the best team possible. At the end of the day, we're going to have a tough conversation in 3 weeks. We just are. It's just, if you take the top team's players, if you just in your mind, if you can do it, or if you want to write it down, you people at home, just go on the internet and start writing it down. Take the top five from each team and the bottom five from each team in your mind, and then compare them. Middle guys are always going to be middle guys. Take the top five players, take the top five and go, here's New York's top five. Tampa's top five, whatever. And then compare them to, that's how you gauge where you're at. Carey Price is not a normal human being. He can carry teams an awful long way, as we found out last year. Mm-hmm. Okay. But don't kid yourself. Montreal still had some pretty good hockey players. They just weren't built from their goaltender out, so they gave up more shots, and now they started losing hockey games when he was down. Okay. We're built totally differently. We need, like you said, Nyquist, Tatar, Abelkader. Obviously, Dylan Larkin's not going to struggle long. He's going to put the puck in net. These guys have to put the puck in net for us to be successful. But remember, we're not talking about Kane, Taves, Hossa.
Yeah.
That's one team.
See, and if you're three games into the season and Kane, Taves, and Hossa haven't scored for you yet, you're not worried about that.
Ever.
Because they will score. But coming off of last year, I'm three games into the season, and guys that have to be having big years for the Wings this year still don't have a goal. And it's like, we're three games into it. you got to get me one. If Tatar gets me one in Tampa, maybe the Wings get out of there with a point, or maybe they win the game. If Nyquist gets me one in Florida, maybe we're in that game and have a chance at the end to get a point or whatever. If Larkin gets me one in one of those games, maybe we win. Didn't happen. We're 1-2.
And you know, obviously, doing what you did for
Liv. And Green's not going to score 3 goals every night, and Helm's not going to score 2 goals every night. So somebody else has got to score.
I mean, hey, I mean, really impressed with Vanek.
He's been great.
He's made Helmer. They have to keep that line together. For sure they do, and he did. And you know this, obviously, by you and I doing what we did, right? Okay, so I've scored an average of 40 goals for however many years in a row. And my second year here in Port Huron, I think I had 1 goal in my first 11 games. Okay. Doug Crossman was the coach at the time. So I scored 45 the year before. So I have 1 in 11. And as a player, so this is like my 7th year as a pro. Okay. Was I frustrated? Absolutely. Was I not frustrated? Of course I wasn't. Why? Because I was getting 8 shots a game. The puck just wasn't going in the net. I was still in the right spot. It was going to happen. I think I ended up scoring 35 that year,
yeah,
or whatever.
35
but
that, right, yeah.
Anyway, so, but this is my point. Watch Tatar. Watch Nyquist. Where are they getting quality shots? They're not. They're not generating their offense.
On the other side of that coin, you had one and finished with 35 after 11 games. I think Ryan Black had 10, and he finished the season with 21 or 22.
Right. Oh yeah, I mean, I had guys like John Finstrom, who was one of my best buddies. He was ahead of me by like 7 goals after 11 games. And don't get me wrong, people would chuckle. You know, there'd be stuff in the locker room like, "Hey, killer." I mean, okay. And I always used to say, you have to understand, when you're in this environment, you better protect yourself. I always used to just sit back in my chair and go, "All right, let's talk after Christmas, boys." Right? Meanwhile, the only thing that was hurting me about this, and you know this as an athlete, the only thing that was hurting me about this was, I was like, are you kidding me? For the first time in my career, I'm going to get off to a really slow start in the All-Star Games here in Port Huron. That's all I ever wanted to do, was play in the All-Star Game against Team Canada. That's it. I didn't want to play in the All-Star Game. I just wanted to play against the Canadian national team with a bunch of All-Stars from here, and I wasn't going to get that chance because I got off to a slow start. That's the only thing that bothered me. But you know, as a player, all you're looking at is, am I getting these chances to score? Okay, they're not getting chances. They're not getting quality scoring chances. They're not getting them on the power play. They're not getting them on 5-on-5. They're not creating anything shorthanded. The only guys that are getting these opportunities are, you know, Helmer and Vanek by what they're doing, and they're able to get some looks from the point. I mean, the Wings D is generating most of the offense right now. Obviously, Greener has a lot to do with that. But again, it's a really hard conversation for you and I have today.
Yeah.
But 2 weeks from now, it'll be a lot easier.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be back, though. See, time flies when McKillop is here.
Yeah.
We'll be back, and it'll be hour number two.
Really?
Yes, it'll be hour number two.
Oh.
When
we need a longer show.
We return. Oh, by the way, one last shot. DeKaiser, probably their best D-man, has been their worst through 3 games.
Yeah, he's struggling.
He's been awful. But you know who they've had him paired up with? Green!
You're listening to the Dennis Stuckey Show on 1380 WPHM.
All right, welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show. First pitch. They might have actually already had first pitch, but the Blue Jays trying to stave off elimination playing Cleveland. When we get into the break, I'll get the game on for you, Kelly. So that... they could come back.
Oh, they can for sure. I mean, this series would be totally different. I mean, they're 1-for-27 with 2 outs with runners in scoring position.
3 runs in 3 games.
That's not them. I mean, that first game.
Cleveland's got good pitching, but come on.
No. I mean, everything's falling into place. Everything's falling into place for Cleveland. The way they had to rotate through their bullpen last night with what happened with their pitcher with the bloody finger and them having to go 6-and-something 3rd innings to complete that game and the runs they were able to score. And you know, our clutch guys are just not being that. I mean, it's, you know, Toronto has gotten where they're at by their weapons, which are, they got a bunch of them. Their bats are deadly. But, you know, we're 1-for-27 with 2 outs with runners in scoring position. Well, Toronto's 1-for-27 with runners in scoring position. Yeah, I mean, it's, but again, I mean, and they lose 2 games by run, and they lose last night by 2 runs, and it could have been, I mean, they just kept leaving guys on base. Can this happen for them? Absolutely. And the atmosphere in this building today will be at the Rogers Center will be something else. But, you know, again, tip your hat to Francona. Tip your hat to him. He managed that game exactly the way he needed to. Miller's pitching out of unbelievable out of the pen. He brings in his closer in the seventh.
Well, that's the thing. They were talking to Jim Leland. I don't know if you caught any of this.
But no.
Jim Leland was just in awe about the way managers in the playoffs have been using their bullpen. He's like, you know, I managed all these years. He had Pittsburgh teams that went to playoffs. Yep. He had Tiger teams.
Good ones, too.
That went to the playoffs. He's like, I would have never thought to bring my closer in the fifth or sixth inning. But he's like, but you know what?
I didn't have Andrew Miller.
If that's the big out, if that's, I mean, you can win the game. If the bases are loaded in the sixth and you don't let them score,
you can't use your closer.
You can win the game there. And he said all these managers are right to do what they're doing.
Well, the thing about it is if you have an Andrew Miller who can come in, who's, I think he's got 20 strikeouts in 9 innings, which if it was a 9-inning game, I think there's only 3 pitchers in the history that even have more than that. Roger Clemens is one. I don't know who the other ones are. But, I mean, if you have that sitting in the pen, especially as a lefty, I mean, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you bring your closer in the 6th or 7th inning to say, hey, you know, we're going to shut you down here so we can get there? I mean, you know, managing baseball, especially come playoff time, and you know, you love to talk about this stuff all the time. And poor, the guy out in, how am I drawing a blank? The guy in San Francisco is just getting grilled for not using his closer.
Oh, Bochy?
Bochy, for not using his closer. Yeah. I mean,
they're still mad. It's 2 weeks ago, and they're still mad in Baltimore that in the wild card
game,
they didn't bring Zach Britton
in. Yeah, that was
game.
Horrible, too. Zach Britton, right, exactly. Baltimore in the Toronto series, too. Zach Britton, there's a prime example. You got Zach Britton, the best closer in baseball, and he's sitting on the pine. So if you don't get him in the game, because you might get to a point where you never use him. So that's why I would be, hey, if he's my closer and I need three outs, I'm only going to get 3 outs out of him. If I feel this is the time I need him, meaning first and second, nobody out, or I'd bring him in too if I had an Andrew Miller to back me up. Well, most teams, like the Tigers, wouldn't be in that position. They wouldn't have the luxury of being able to do that. But
I don't think Osmus would pull the trigger on a move like that anyways.
Well, and again,
he's stuck in his ways.
No, I agree.
This is my guy that pitches the 6th.
I agree.
This is my guy that pitches the 7th. And it doesn't matter whether they've gone 30 innings without getting scored on or they've given up 30 runs in the last 10 innings. That's his guy for that situation, and that's who he's going to bring out.
And you know what? And I understand that because he's young. You're taking a look at – give Terry Francona a lot of credit for what he's been able to do with that Cleveland Indian franchise and especially with that ball club over the last 2 years. To get them where they're at today, and they really like playing for him and they really believe in who he is, but he did a masterful job with the pen last night. It was – if you understand baseball, to watch how he worked that pen last night against the hitters – if you're, I mean, and obviously I'm a Toronto fan, so I know who's coming up, and I know he knew he put Justin Smoke in the game. He knew all he had to do was get him to that point, and he's going to pull the trigger, and he's going to get a lefty that hasn't hit a bunch against a guy that's got a great hook. I mean, he knew it. It was masterful how he did that game last night, and give him credit. Now, here's the flip side. There's been a team come back from 0-3. It's the Boston Red Sox against the powerful New York Yankees. And the Boston Red Sox manager was Terry Francona. So do you not think he hasn't had this conversation with his players? His players will be ready for whatever. Do I hope that Toronto can make a series out of it, at least send it back to Cleveland? Sure I do. Do I think it's going to happen? I don't know. But there isn't a better – as I love October baseball. Doesn't matter who's playing. I love October baseball. I think it brings out the best in everybody, both players and management. And we got to watch it absolutely perfectly play out last night for one of, you know, the smartest guys in baseball with Francona. And then, you know, here's another flip side. Roberts, a first year manager for the Dodgers, gets them in. His ace is out in the mound. He has to come out. He's up by a run. He's got to come out. And his ace convinces him to keep him in the game because he thinks he can get this guy out. Now it was a long fly ball to center field, and he ended up winning the game 1-0. But, you know, he could have easily went to the pen. But you're just watching the best of the best. And if sports is your thing and you love watching guys, this is the best time. I absolutely love it. And, I'm kind of disappointed with how my Jays are playing right now, and as the rest of Toronto is right now. But it's not over. But boy, I love watching this stuff. Last night, as a fan of sports, even though we lost, I was like, just wow, this is great to watch. And we're getting to see some good stuff.
The Cubs and the Dodgers play tonight. That series is tied 1-1. Here's the thing, Cleveland, and great if you sweep. Yep. And I'm a proponent of you get it over as fast as you can.
I know
none of this.
Going.
Oh well, you could lose today and then win it at home. No, because you never know when an injury is going to happen. You never know when they got two more
games in Toronto.
It
goes 2-3-2.
You've got to win as fast as you can.
Yep.
But if you win tonight, that Dodgers Cubs series might go the rest of this week.
Pitching.
I'm telling you right now, if Cleveland wins today, they might have to wait 10, 14 days before they play again.
Which means they will literally have to play, and you think I'm kidding people? They will literally have to play 5 simulated games.
Yeah, they'll have to do something. Because that happened to the Tigers.
They will play
that
5 simulated games.
That happened to the Tigers the year before they played the Cardinals. They had to wait like 10 days
to play
game one of the World Series.
They will play, have guys pitch, their guys. They will have to play. If it goes 8 days, they'll play 2 simulated games. If it goes 7 days and 9 days, they'll play 10 days, they'll play 3. If it goes longer than that, they'll play 4. They'll have to play simulated games. This is what people understand about baseball. It isn't about them getting rusty. It's about arms have to throw.
Yeah.
They have to throw. They just can't. They can't
sit.
There's
a timing thing, too. You can hit in the batting cage all you want, but until you're up against
the
live
arms
pitching.
Clayton Kershaw talked about it yesterday. He says, the hardest thing for me was all I was worried about was the 7 days. Even though I came off the IR, but once you're in a rhythm, once you're going, you're going every 5 days. It is who you are. It's how you're built. Those extra 2 days does something to you mentally and physically. It's just the way it goes. So, I don't know. Obviously, I'm praying that Cleveland is in that situation, but they very well might be. But, boy, you got some good storylines going on right now. I love seeing what I'm seeing. Love October baseball. Love it.
I'd love it a little more if the knuckleheads were there. But
of course.
They let me down again.
Of course, I'd love that, too.
Yeah, I'm still a little sour.
How can you not be? I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I'm a Detroit guy through and through. Love the Tigers.
It is the offseason now, and I'm reading articles about Salta Lamacchia will be let go, and they're going to bring back Avila.
One more time?
Salta Lamacchia will be let go.
Okay.
He hit 129 the second half of the season.
I don't care.
And then Avila, because he's a better catcher.
He's coming back?
Not because there's they're just saying. They're speculating.
No, he's not coming back.
That daddy will bring him back. Because McCann's going to catch 120 games.
Doesn't matter. He's not coming back.
Yeah.
Well, if he does, then...
I worry about that organization. They're not very deep at catcher.
Okay.
They're not.
Of course they're not.
McCann gets hurt. John Hicks is their next catcher.
I know.
I don't even know who he is.
No, I know.
And I follow the sport.
No, I know. I mean, I guess I get it. I get... Listen, if we're going to go
down... They're not going to bring back Salty. I love Salty. He had a couple of big home runs for the Tigers.
Early.
But,
remember him early?
Yeah.
Opening weekend?
He had like 10 home runs before the All-Star break, and he finished with 12.
Oh, yeah.
He hit 170-something for the season, and he hit 129 in the second half.
As a switch guy, yeah, you can't
You can't bring him back.
But. No, but I mean, again, we've had this conversation. I've had this conversation, whether it be in around the office or around the water cooler or around, the golf course, around anywhere. I've had this conversation for 10 years. If the Tigers do not make an honest commitment to their bullpen... And if they don't realize that they have to get younger in a hurry and quicker and be able to play small ball, then we have been in the luxurious position of being in the Central Division forever. Well, the Central Division is getting better.
Yeah.
So we're not going to be able to get in with a 500 or an 87 or 92 win season. We're not going to get in. All right. So we've been able to do that. So now we're in a position where. We need to have a better ERA. We need to have better less runs scored against us. And the way you do that is you got to shore up your bullpen. And I mean, you got to remember, 3 years ago we had the best starting rotation in all of baseball, and still couldn't win 100 games.
Yeah,
how is that possible? I'll tell you how it's possible.
We can't score the runner from third with less than 2 outs. We can't move runners over. We have to wait for the home run to score our runs.
Right.
defensively, we're horrible, and our bullpen is
and when we
been
give
the
ball
worst.
And since baseball not
for as soon as your starter comes out, it's instant offense for the other team.
For some unknown reason, baseball has decided that pitchers should not pitch more than 100 pitches. Do I get it? Of course. People, we're not talking not even 20 years ago. Guys like Jack Morris and all these big, you know, Roger Clemens and the big boy Randy Johnson were throwing 135 a game like it was nothing. I mean, it used to be a game of feel. How do you feel? I feel good. I feel strong.
When I was a kid, Mickey Lolich,
oh yeah,
Nolan Ryan would throw over 200 pitches in a game.
No, and it all came from what we now have.
And he'd make 35 to 40 starts for his team in 162 games
and win 25 times. I mean, but understand, Stuck, we have the technology today that shows as an athlete who you are. People are different. If I'm throwing the ball 95 miles an hour in the eighth inning and still hitting corners, what are you taking me out for? If I got three hits and a less than two runs in the game, where am I? Do you really want to give the ball to somebody else? They can't touch me.
You know what I really hate? And this is a little off the mark. The pitcher will be pitching well. He'll make a good pitch. Guy will hit a ground ball to third. The third baseman will make an error.
Boots it.
And the manager, because there's a base runner on,
I know,
will come out and get the pitcher.
Yeah, I know.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Until they get a hit off of him.
No, I know.
Keep him going. Just because a guy got on base, wasn't his fault. He didn't give up a hit. He didn't walk him.
But it's the situation because he might.
He might. Yeah.
No, I mean,
you got a better chance with Justin Verlander.
I agree.
Not giving up the hit than you do bringing in one of the Wilsons or one of those knuckleheads.
Let me let you in a little secret right now. You have a better chance, rather than bring in the Wilsons or whatever, going up to row number 14, section C, and bringing in me for crying out loud. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. I mean,
we're going to go to Green. Well, let's take a look at the numbers. In his last two-thirds of an innings, he's given up 8 hits.
No, it's bad.
So you're going to take out the guy who didn't give up a hit, but a base runner got on an error. You're going to take him out and bring in a guy that in his last 10 innings. We're going to bring in Mark Lowe. In his last 10 innings, he's given up 12 runs on 17 hits. But he's going to get the outs for us here.
And here's the worst part. Here's the worst part. Okay, here you and I on October the 18th. Here you and I are sitting having a conversation about how bad the Tigers are and what they need to do. And, it's so easy for you and I to sit in this chair. If they go 500 this year against the Cleveland Indians, they're in the playoffs.
They don't even have to go 500.
I know, but
they have to win, like, three more games against Cleveland. They're in the playoffs.
They go 500. Not only are they in the playoffs, but they have home field advantage.
Yeah,
I mean, think about that.
It's disgusting.
I mean, think about that. Not even win the series against them, season series. Just split it.
Just win a few more games.
Just win half your games at home. They're in. I get it.
They were one strike away from beating Kansas City like a week before the end of the season.
Oh, I remember.
If they get that strike, then they're at least playing on Monday for a chance to get into the playoffs.
I remember.
But then they come up against
my Jays, whose bats were on fire at the time, and it'd be done.
Yeah, well, maybe. One game, anything can happen.
You got that right.
I'll go up to the Rogers Center and slug with you guys with the Martinezes and Cabrera.
I agree.
Take my chances. We gotta take a break. We'll be back.
Back to more Dennis Stuckey on Information 1380 WPHM.
Welcome back. It's the Dennis Stuckey Show here on WPHM with Bobby McKillop today. The Blue Jays are playing the Indians. I got that on the background for Killer here, and so far so good. No score in the second inning. But if you hear Bobby go, what the beep, 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 that's because Cleveland's doing something.
Yeah, well, we won't have to worry about that for a while. And obviously it's on my back, so I'm not really watching. But I can't believe they don't have the dome open today. So it's a sunny day.
Is it? I mean, I don't know.
There we go.
I keep waiting for
it. There we go.
Keep waiting for the rain to bust loose here in town. It's been kind of gray all day long.
Yeah.
Today is Tuesday, so following the show today, we've got Inside Michigan Football with Jim Harbaugh and Jim Brandstetter at 5 o'clock. And, of course, Fridays are reserved for the Mark D'Antonio Show, which I don't know if anybody's listening anymore.
Yeah, it's a great time to be a Michigan Wolverine, that's for sure. It's a great time to be amazing blue.
Oh, my poor Sparties. My poor, poor Sparties.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be up against it in Maryland this week.
Saw Matt Sheehan yesterday at the soccer game. We were both at the Port here in High Port here on Northern. He's a big Spartan fan, and he is just dying right now. So, yeah.
They had a good run, though, didn't they?
Well, they've had a great run, and I'm sure they'll bounce back, but this year's kind of a wash. Yeah, they will.
Well, I mean, the Harbaugh effect is starting to take effect. I mean, there's a lot of kids that made the decision to go to Michigan State over the last 7 years. It was a no-brainer. Even the Ohio players that wanted to play in Michigan, not at Michigan, in Michigan, the state of Michigan, it was Michigan State. There's no other place they were going to go. It was the place to play. And the Harbaugh effect has turned that around, and Michigan is getting the five-star recruiters, and in college football, Alabama is Alabama because they recruit. They have the five-star guys. It used to be Florida State. Mm-hmm. It's now Alabama. It used to be Florida. It's year after year after year after year. And then you're taking a look at the Urban Meyer effect up in Ohio, and now they're getting five-star guys. They're getting guys from Texas, from Florida. I mean, you know, the states that are producing five-star athletes from your athletic positions, quarterback positions, wide receiver, and running backs, they come from Texas. They come from Florida. They don't come from here. You know, and then the big boys in the South, the linemen and all those guys and in Iowa and Arkansas and all that. I mean, the farm boys, I guess you want to call them, Wisconsin. I mean, those guys are all making decisions to go to these schools. And Michigan is now on the board, and it's gonna tilt it. It's gonna tilt it quite a bit. So, you know, and like I've talked to you about this before, I'm a Walmart Michigan guy from Toronto. How can I be a Michigan guy? I can't be, but I'm a Walmart Michigan guy. I love watching Michigan play since I was a kid. Since you know, Carter back in the day was playing for him, and you know, I've seen some great Michigan teams, and when I end up playing in the minors, I play with a lot of guys who went to Michigan State for hockey.
Oh yeah. We had a ton of them come through here.
I played with so many of those guys.
I can name you two guys that played for Michigan that played here.
People don't remember.
And probably 10 that played for the Spartans.
I played with so many Sparties. This is the funny thing about when I have conversations with people. Now that the OHL is kind of getting a little bit more prominent, okay? So I played in the OHL for 4 years. And then I went on and played in the minors in Detroit, in San Diego, and before I ever came here. So I signed a contract, and I get sent through all the minors and all that stuff. But anyways, when I get here in 1996, and people would say to me, so, you know, if you could play for the Sarnia Sting, you would, right? No, I played in that league 6 years ago. So nobody understood the hockey. Okay. Do you know how many Michigan Wolverine hockey players tried out for the Port Huron Bearcats? There were great players at the NCAA level that couldn't make our hockey team. I mean, people didn't understand how good the quality of hockey was here. You had to be one of the best players on the Michigan Wolverines to play here in Port Huron. Not a guy that played for the Michigan Wolverines. You had to be one of their top three or four players to even have a sniff. You had to be one of the top three or four players to even have a sniff to make the Port Huron Bearcats. And people look at me all the time and go, what are you talking about? I mean, honey, if we went and played Michigan Wolverines, we'd beat them by 9 or 10 goals. I mean, that's just who we are.
Well, I had that conversation first year of the team. They're like, well, if they played Sarnia would win. I mean, no.
We'd beat them by 20.
These are guys that played at that level years ago.
Aaron Brand set records in that league. Aaron Brand, who played here with the Border Cats, the Beacons, he set records in that league. How many records did he set here?
None.
Gretzky put up 140-something points in that league. I mean, understand. You keep trying to explain. People would always be like, oh, this hockey's... Dude, I can't explain it to you. Okay, but so anyway, a whole bunch of Michigan players, and I can name names, but I won't. A whole bunch of Michigan guys would come, great players, and I look at their numbers and go, wow, this kid's going to be a good player. He couldn't even hold a candle. He can't play here. He cannot play here. But anyway, I played with a bunch of Sparties, though. A whole bunch of Michigan State guys. These guys bleed. You think guys... I think fans bleed maize and blue more than the maize and blue guys bleed themselves. But yet, Sparty athletes, they are green and white. I'm talking these guys. We couldn't do anything with Michigan State basketball was playing. There could have been a Michigan State badminton tournament going on. I mean, these guys were, and so then that kind of that Steve Beadle was a guy I played with before I came here, who was one of my best friends, and he was a great player at Michigan State. But anyway, Jamie Stewart was another goaltender too. But
Flint had a ton of guys.
Oh, ton of them.
Flint had a ton of guys.
Ton of guys. But you know, Bobby Reynolds and whatnot. But
Bobby Reynolds, Chad Albin.
Oh, a whole bunch of them. But so that kind of got me going, in that direction of, hey, you know what, I can really rib these guys. But I think it's really good for the state now that Michigan's back. I think D'Antonio is the type of guy that can keep state relevant in the conversation. What I mean by relevant is, like, let's try and can we get two teams, and this is where it's kind of a struggle for guys like you and me, can we get two teams in the state? Can we have the East Lansing, Ann Arbor, short distance, can we produce two teams that could one day possibly, even though they're in the Big Ten, remember, Ohio State and Michigan could meet them, theoretically in the playoffs. Theoretically, can happen. They both have to be one losses. Can it happen? Sure.
It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Right, but it can happen. But can we have the relevance between Michigan and Michigan State where they push an Ohio State out, where they push an Alabama out, where now we have, you know, at least we're getting down to the conversation where we're meeting up in the Big Ten championship game and one of us is guaranteed going to go and the other one's got a chance. I mean, can we get to that point? I don't know. The Harbaugh effect is huge. So, and I don't think, and this is me, and here I go again, right? I'm on a show, so I guess I better give my opinion, right? Always gets me in trouble.
That's what we're here for.
Right? I don't think Michigan has the offensive line that's going to take them to the promised land. I just don't. I think once they get up against the big bad boys, I think They've had some key injuries in the guard spot and watching how the, you know, their quarterback has to kind of get himself out of trouble room as well. That pocket collapses in a hurry. I think these big bad boy teams are going to cause him some trouble. But that's just me.
Well, it goes in stages, and let's face it, they're 6-0. They've played Wisconsin.
Yep,
and that's.
Yeah,
they've played Wisconsin. They haven't played in Alabama or somebody like that. So I don't know how good they are. But
we're gonna find out.
I'm also not going to say that they're not good.
They're good.
They're playing. They're going to play Ohio State to
that's
see
we'll
who
know.
Gets in.
That's
on,
we'll
on that side.
Yeah.
To the Big Ten championship
that's we'll
game.
Know.
So
that's what.
Anyways,
I know.
We got to take a break and then we'll be back to wrap up the show in just a moment. All right, welcome back. Dennis Stuckey show wrapping up here. I want to remind everybody, Pat Williams on the show tomorrow. He'll be the guest speaker at the Port Huron Sports Hall of Fame. I think you will enjoy my conversation with him. He's a motivational speaker. He's also, he's been involved in a lot of things. He started in baseball in the minor leagues in Philadelphia. He was 25 years old, became GM of a minor league team for the Phillies, got GM of the year twice in a row in the league. Led the league in attendance, got the phone call from the Phillies, and he's thinking, I'm going to be named the new Phillies GM, and instead they offered him a gig to start a new franchise for them in the minor leagues, and being a young guy, cocky because of his awards, said the wrong things, burned his bridges, and now he's a basketball GM because baseball people wouldn't touch him after that.
Amazing how that works.
So he's got some great stuff, and I think you'll enjoy that.
It's kind of like when you talk about handicaps. I mean, it's, you know, it's
yeah, you get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, you just
burn bridges.
Yeah, you're not allowed back.
People don't like you anymore.
Apparently, I'm a bad guy.
You become a pariah in your community.
Apparently, yeah. I can't even go to the North End and eat anymore. I mean, it's crazy. Anyway, quick shout out to speaking of golf to Brian Bowman. He says he listens. I'm going to call him out on it. See if he's listening right now because I don't think he is, but.
All right.
He says he does. So, anyway, hey, Bo, how are you? I haven't seen you in a long time, bro. Yeah, me and golf aren't friends right now. Actually, I don't think we're going to be friends ever again. I think I'm going to retire. I do. I think I'm done.
You won't do it.
Yeah. You'll
get the new hip in there, and no, eventually it's going to
you know,
be
it's
like,
diff- it's
oh,
the,
this feels good.
No, it's the competition thing. It's the you know, I always play that game. I didn't play it for any other reason to compete against myself and obviously to be – you know, fill that competitive void, and I can't compete at the level I used to be able to compete at, so it's just not fun anymore. So I can honestly see myself. Remember I said this. I can honestly see myself, honestly, not even kidding, I honestly see myself just retiring from competitive golf, just not doing it.
We'll have to find something else for you to do then.
Well, I'm looking at her. I think I should just be sitting right here. I think I should just, I mean, I could do this all day, every day, right?
Well, we appreciate you coming in and doing it today. At least I do.
Well, you know what, Stuck? I mean, like, let's figure out a way to get, we should be able to, I mean, I'm looking at guys, there's a lot of guys out there doing this stuff that I'm watching this ESPN and all this stuff. Come on, Stuck. You got some connections.
ESPN. All right, we got to go.
What do you mean laughing about? Are you watching these guys?
1380 WPHM, Port Huron.